Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you we can be here.
Amen.
You have gathered us here.
Amen.
Lord, we give you the next few days.
Amen.
Lord, be with us.
Amen.
Meet with us.
Amen.
Unveil us.
Amen.
Even appear to us.
Amen.
We want to see what's on your heart.
Amen.
We want to join into that heart.
Amen.
We want to be filled with that heart.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can enter, Lord.
Amen.
There's a way to enter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, welcome, sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to be here.
Amen.
It's good to gather.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord
for another opportunity.
Amen.
To gather into his name.
Amen.
And to hear the unveiling of his word. You know, I was with some young brothers last night. Thank you, Ben. And actually, most of these brothers I was with, there's a few college students, and there's about five or six trainees that are currently in the training, full-time training. I think most of you probably know what that is. And anyway, he asked me, he said, "Oh, what's the high school conference on this weekend?" And I said, "Oh, brother, we're on the ground of the church." And this young brother was from Houston. And he says, "Oh, I remember that conference." Yeah. And he said that conference had, I forget his exact words, but he said that conference, something like this, had a great impact on his life. He said, of all the conferences, this conference, the conference on the ground of the church, he said it explained to him. He saw a vision of why we meet the way we meet. It was a revelation to him, right? So anyway, and it's still remaining with him years later. So I hope, sisters, wow, may the Lord give us such a revelation that would stay with us, that would get that would penetrate our inner being, and that would remain with us for years to come, right? Right? Y'all are young, and y'all are looking which way? Are you looking in the rearview mirror, or are you looking forward? Forward, right? Right? You have your whole life in front of you, right? But it's awesome to go forward with vision, right? With direction. And I'd really say the content of this conference, of all the conferences, this one's very practical.
Amen.
It's very much full of revelation, and it gives you a practical road.
Amen.
Upon which you can drive the rest of your life, right? So anyway, I hope you all can want to hear what the Lord has, right, for us this weekend. Amen, amen. So why don't we read the title of the conference? It's really not on the, we're going to cover message one here on page one, but go to the front cover, and why don't we read the title altogether two times. The ground of the church, one more time. The ground of the church, okay, and then why don't we read the message title. The battle for the ground, okay. So what's repeated here? Yeah, ground. Is the ground important? Okay. Who said that? Okay. So the ground's not important, right? I know this. We don't really need the ground here, right? Right? But think about it. Yeah. If there wasn't the ground here, you know, the ground is similar to the site. Okay, right, we all came to the meeting hall of the church in Richardson. Okay, if the ground, if we don't really care about the ground, how would you know where to go? Right, when I left my home late this afternoon, I put something in my GPS, right? What did I put in here? Yeah, 1701, 1721, something like that. North Jupiter Road, right? It's awesome. You know what? There's a ground here. So we all came to the same place. So it is very practical. Even though we may cover it up, and we got tile on it. Actually, there's concrete on this site. There's tile on this concrete. And there's, we don't even sit on the ground, right? You want to sit on the ground tonight? But we want to stand on the ground. Amen. Anyway, you may not fully understand what I'm talking about, but I think as we progress, you could say this conference is very much like a novel. It has a it has an opening theme, and then it has a development all the way through to the last message on the Lord's Day. So tonight we're going to kind of open the scene and open the view to this novel. And you know what it opens with? A battle. A battle. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you. Okay, so why don't we read? It's here. Sisters, why don't you go ahead and read Genesis 1:1 all together. Okay, now think about that. Okay. Now, the outline point says, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The entire universe was God's territory. Who possessed the heavens and the earth? Who possessed it? God. Why did God possess it? Ah, who said that? I heard it. Ah, okay, he created them, right? If you create something, Melody, you can have ownership of that, right? That's yours. So the whole, pick this up, the heavens, plural, the earth, singular, it's all God's territory. Is there more than one earth in the universe? What's the Bible say? The earth. That's unique, right? The earth. Heavens is plural. Because they're still counting them, all right? I don't know how many billions of galaxies there are in this universe, right? So there's heavens, okay, and there's the earth. And the ownership belongs to God. Genesis 1:1, right? Actually, you know, I really like this verse. Because it doesn't really explain too much. It just makes an absolute statement. In the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, God. God did something. And he created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. What's the first word of the next verse? But. Okay. Do you like the word but? Right, you know? Hey, I got an A in calculus. I got an A in chemistry. I got an A in English, right? You're explaining this to your mom. Oh, mom, chemistry, easy. Calculus, a snap, right? Economics, I did it. A. You like that but? But a D in what? Government, right? Government. Ah, a government, right? Wow. Think about this. This is the opening of the Bible. This is the opening of this novel. In the beginning, God, he did something. He created the heavens and the earth. Do you think the very next word should be but? Wow. But it is. But it is, right? Right? So you know what's going on here? A battle. There's a battle in the universe. God is doing something. God has a heart. God has an intention. God has an aspiration, right? But There's a conflict. There's something that's, Lord Jesus, there's something pushing back. Does God just have the freedom to do what he wants to do? But why don't we read Roman numeral 1b? Sisters, all together. Okay, and then why don't we read the verse all together? But the earth became waste and emptiness, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. Wow, wow. This is very precious, right? God creates, but you know what? Satan corrupts, right? Does Satan do anything original, if you understand what I mean? Is he a creator? Can Satan create anything? He's just an angel. He has no creating power. I hope you all hate him. Because you know what he is? He's a spoiler. He's a corrupter. Right? He's a defiler. Right? If you make something, do you want somebody to come by and just ruin it?
No.
Yeah, no! Right? So there's an enemy. Right? God has an enemy. And this enemy has rebelled. You know, how many have their Old Testament? I hope you all brought your Bibles. Raise your hand if you got an Old Testament with you. Okay, we got a few. So I'd like to read a few verses to you out of Isaiah 14. Just so you get a little bit of background. This is Isaiah 14, 12. through 15. So you can turn to it if you'd like. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, you can at least write the reference down. Okay, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you have been hewn down to earth, you who made nations fall prostrate. But you said in your heart," listen to this, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne, and I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the most high. Who is this I? What's your name, sister? Alyssa. Okay, awesome. Sorry, I don't know enough of you all. I don't like that, Zeke. Alyssa, where are you from? Richardson. Okay, wow. So you're home here, right? You've been here many times. So who's the I here? He said, "I will ascend. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Who's this I? Any idea? What's that? Wow. Exactly. What is this? This is the first time in the universe there's an introduction of a second will. God had a will. God had an intention. God had a heart. And he created the angels. But Satan, who was the leader of the angels, rebelled. He didn't like being under God. Listen to what he says. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Excuse me, Satan. You just said he's the Most High. How are you going to ascend? You don't even make sense. There's only one who's the Most High. But what is this? Rebellion doesn't always make sense. This is Satan. He's rebelling against God. He's the cause of the but. If there was no Satan, there would be no but. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. So thus there's a battle. Does God just sit back and just say, okay, give up, Obi. It's over. It's done. Whatever. You like that word, whatever? I really don't like that word, whatever. All right? I mean, to me, that word has a certain connotation. It has a certain attitude to it. All right? Whatever. That's like, you don't care. God created the heavens and the earth. But did God just say, whatever? No. What does verse 2 say? This is awesome. But the earth became waste and emptiness and darkness. It's because of God's judgment on the devil and all of his angels who rebelled with him. But listen to this. Okay, so the earth became waste. God didn't create it a waste. It became a waste. And it became empty. And darkness was on the surface of the deep. And listen to this. And the Spirit of God. What was the Spirit of God doing? Brooding. Oh, do you like that word? Brooding. Right. You know, my neighbors across the street, I walked out of my house this morning, and it was a little early, and all of a sudden I hear this cock-a-doodle-doo. They got chickens over there. Right. You know what chickens do? Well, they lay eggs, Matt, but what else do they do? They brood over them, right? They sit on those eggs, right? They care for the life that is hidden within that egg. You know what? Though Satan rebelled, though God creates, Satan corrupts, but does God give up? Wow. Jehovah saves. Jehovah broods. He broods over his creation to recover what was damaged. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope you all are encouraged by the brooding spirit. Brooding is very pleasant. It's a warming. It's a remaining. It's an enduring, the Spirit of God. I hope you all have experienced something of the brooding spirit, right? You may feel, wow, I love the Lord. But then there's a battle on the inside. We'll get into this. But you know what? You also sense something brooding, something not letting you go. Something stirring within, right? That's the brooding spirit, right? I remember I was in college, and I don't know why. Sometimes we're just like this. We're human beings, Renita, right? And sometimes we just get down. And maybe sometimes we don't even know why we get down. We're just down. Anyway, it was one of those days I was just down. Anyway, you know what happened, Mike? The brooding spirit. I was walking to a chemistry class. Believe me, that did not bring any kind of joy to me. Quantitative analysis. Oh, I didn't like that class. But I'll never forget, I was just walking down that sidewalk toward the chemistry building, and the Lord came. The brooding spirit visited me. I just looked at that building. And something stirred and warmed my heart. Amen. And there's just a sense of love. Lord, I still love you. Amen. Lord, I love you, right? It just swallowed up that downness, right? It swallowed it up, right? Anyway, this is the brooding spirit, right? So anyway, so we live in a struggle. We live in a battle, right? Raise your hand if you've experienced that battle. Amen. That proves you're saved. That proves you're saved, right? Okay, we need to move on. Roman numeral 2. Why don't we, so we used to have brothers, but anyway, sisters. sisters, why don't you read Roman numeral 2. Amen. Awesome. Okay. And then I'll read Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Right? Okay, some of these points actually kind of blend together. If you noticed, there's kind of a theme here of man. Sorry. Okay, so in Roman numeral 1, you want to pick this up because that's, anyway, we're going somewhere with this. So do you see that? The key word is the earth. There's a battle over the earth in Roman numeral 1. God creates, but Satan rebels. In Roman numeral 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 actually all go together. You know what the common theme is? Somebody just said it. Can you say it again? Man, right? I'd hope you could circle the word. In creation, God created man. And then what did, in Roman 3, what did God do with this man? Placed him in a garden, okay? Then, anyway, we'll get into this. Now, the focus is a little more specific. This right? Remember, we're walking through a novel all conference long, and this novel opens up wide, and it starts with the universe, and it shows us there's a battle in the universe, and then it gets a little more specific. And what does it begin to focus on within this universe? It's not just a general battle of the heavens and the earth and Satan and God. What is a little more specific? Where does some of this battle take place? Over what? Over whom? Regarding whom? Man. Actually, we are the battlefield. I am the battlefield. God loves man. God wants man. God is focused on man, right? In his creation, God created man in his image and gave this man dominion. Oh, man is critical, right? I hope you all can be happy. Oh, I'm a man. Amen. I'm a woman. I'm a man. Amen. I'm part of God's creation. Amen. And, you know, my wife's got a little Pomeranian, Chloe. We love you, Chloe. But you're not a man. Chloe, you're kind of cute, but you're not in God's image. And you don't have a whole lot of dominion. You try, all right? But not a whole lot of dominion. To God created man in a very special way. I hope you hold yourself in high honor. Wow. I'm made in God's image. I'm not trash. Amen, right? The world might try to tell you you're trash, but you're not trash. You're made in God's image. Amen. We're unique. We're special, amen, right? God's heart and God's love is upon us, right? Image is for his expression, and his dominion is for his representation, right? Okay, we can move on. Why don't we read Roman numeral 3? Sisters, go ahead. Amen. Amen. We'll be in Matt. Can you read Genesis 2, 8, and 9 together?
And Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden.
Amen. 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 Wow. Amen.
Mm.
Amen. Okay, awesome. So there's something particular with this man. It says Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden. Kind of unique, right? How many have ever planted a garden? I don't know. I got all these city dwellers. But anyway, there's a few. Ah, Zeke, amen. when I was a kid on my uncle's farm, he had a large garden, right? What's a garden full of? What's a garden full of? Oh, you're getting more. Amen. Life? Amen. Plants? But then what kind of plants? Vegetables, food, right? And flowers. Yeah. This is a sister's conference, isn't it? Right? Can't forget those flowers, right? But think about it. God planted a garden. Really sweet. I mean, he planted it. He didn't just say, Shazam, garden, right? And boom, there's corn and radishes and peppers and potatoes. He planted it. That's what it says. He planted a garden, right? We have a very tender God. We have a very detailed God. He's a very sweet God. And he takes the time to plant a garden. And what does he do with this man who's in his image after his, with his dominion? What's he do with this man? He places him in the garden, right? Isn't that what the verse says? And there he put the man which he had formed. He didn't put him in a school to learn about God. He didn't put him in a factory to do work for God, right? But he put him in a garden, a place full of life. And then there's something special in this garden that God plants. What's in the midst of this garden? Yeah, the tree of life is in the middle of the garden, and another tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, why don't we read all together Genesis 2, 10, and 15. And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided and became
four branches.
Amen.
And Jehovah God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it.
Okay. Now I want you to pick up some specific words here. There's a charge to this man regarding this garden. Again, the theme repeats. The theme is consistent. God created the heavens and the earth, but something came in to damage it. God planted a garden, and there he put the man, this pure man. There's nothing wrong with this man. He's clean. He's upright. He expresses God to some degree, and he has God's dominion. And God places him in this garden with a charge. What's the charge, sisters? Work it. What does that mean? Tend to it. Take care of it. Cultivate it. Foster growth. Every garden is for growth, right? Work it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Different words. Work it. Take care of it. But then there's another part to this charge. You know, to work it, I think you could say, is positive. Cultivate it. Foster its growth. What's the next word? Keep it. Keep it. Why is this word used? Have you ever noticed this word? God plants. God places the man. This man has a charge. Cultivate this land. Cultivate this ground. Take care of this ground. It's for growing something. Not only work it, but also keep it. Why does the Bible say, why does the Lord tell Adam and Eve, keep it? because there's an evil rat in the universe. There's a rat running around in the darkness of the universe. And what's he doing? Corrupting. He's destroying. He wants to. The garden was an awesome place. Adam and Eve met with God. They walked together in the cool of the evening. Oh, Lord Jesus. There's an evil rat in the universe. There's a battle. There's a battle. Satan wants to destroy what God has done. So what happens in Genesis 3, 1 through 4? Why don't we read this all together? Amen.
Wow. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die."
Okay. So here in our novel, for the first time, this rat is identified. Right? He's called out by name. He's kind of been behind the scene. God creates, but Satan corrupts. God plants the garden, work it, and keep it. And then in chapter 3, now this evil one is called the serpent. And what is he? He's crafty. He deceives. And listen to how he deceived Eve. He said to the woman, "Did God really say?" What's this crafty serpent introducing to Eve's thought? What's that? Wow. Did God really say? Even you kind of try to understand his statement. You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? So he kind of twists God's word. God very clearly said, you can eat of any tree of the garden, but the particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Very clear. But Satan says, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? What's your natural reaction if somebody says something that's a little awkward? And a little not that clear. What do you do? If you're clear on the subject, what are you enticed to do? Straighten it out. Let's make it clear here. Right? You may be I think the speed limit's 55. I'm not really sure. Yeah. And then the passenger says, "Oh, I just saw the sign. It's 45. Ooh. Right. You gotta make somebody clear, right? This is the devil. He's crafty. He knows exactly what God said. And actually, Eve was clear on what God said. But Satan kind of twists it. Did God really say, you shall not eat of... I can't even quote how he says it. It's so awkwardly stated. So what is Eve enticed to do? Oh, let's make the serpent clear on what God said. And so what happened? She got engaged in a conversation with the devil. Is that a good idea? Who's more crafty than anything, any other creature of the field? You know, Lord Jesus, just to make this a little practical, You know, Satan came in here, and I think most of you know the story, right? He deceived Eve to take of the other fruit. He said, he talked about it, it's good for food. Mm-hmm. It's pleasant to the sight. It's going to make you wise. So he's enticing her and luring her. But he interjected this question. Did God really say? And then Eve considers that and tries to clarify that. You know, in our experience as a believer, do you ever find, you don't have to directly answer this question, but I think maybe you've had this experience. Have you ever been in a situation, and all this may just happen within your heart, and no one may even know, but inwardly, you doubt something that's in the Bible. You doubt, right? Maybe a friend says something. You go, huh? And that, yeah, evolution, you know, kind of makes sense, right? This thing's kind of, you know, they progress over time. Yeah, there's been a lot of time. And seems to be a lot of evidence. There's a lot of time for things to change. Things change over time. Oh, yeah, things change over time. And then you begin to wonder, oh, did God really? Did God really make the earth in 7 days? I wonder if those were 24-hour days. Or were those 1,000 years days? I've heard all these kind of questions. And then what's your inward response? You get foggy and you begin to doubt, right? Has Satan really changed his tactic? He still does that. He still comes, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, right? We need to know his tactic. And we need to know how to shut them down. Amen. Before that thing gets rooted in our being. I was sitting in a botany class. I was a freshman in college, which means I was 17 years old. I was 17 when I started college. And if you know anything about me, I love plants. I'm into plants. I studied plants and plant breeding and genetics. And I had this botany class. And this guy, I did forget his name, but you walk into his office, he had a big picture. I mean, a big picture of Darwin over his desk. You know, I went in there, you know, trying to get some help. He was a tough professor, and especially for a freshman-level course, or at least a lot of freshmen were in that class. So I walked into his office, oh, man, what's this guy doing on the wall? And, but I'll never forget, he was trying to explain this evolutionary chain of events. And so he's writing, you know, he's trying to fill the board with all these, this series of events, trying to explain the development of plants and angiosperms and, you know, where all these different types of plants come from. And, that was the biggest piece of Swiss cheese I'd ever seen in my life. That is not a flow diagram. It's full of holes. It's full of gaps, right? All they got is this fossil record, and they got this, and then they got that. And even as he's trying to explain it, he says, oh, we got these, you know, these certain kind of, you know, the evergreen trees. And then over here there was created, and he corrected himself. He used the word created, because inwardly, if you get past all the little doubts, all the little murmurings of the heart, I hope you all learn how to not pay attention, sisters, sorry, to the murmurings, the fluctuations, the ups and the downs, the sways of the human heart. You can call them the moments of the heart. Is actually an elderly Christian brother called it. He says you cannot even record them all. Just in one day, from morning to evening, right? You got a name tag, Melody. Okay, Melody. Would you like? What if we took all your thoughts and we just put them up here on a big white screen, right? Just for the last 24 hours. Would you like that? No. You want to know all my thoughts? Oh, I would beg you. No. Right? We're fallen human beings. I ate the wrong tree. I've got sin in me. And so my heart, it can sway. It can hear these things and doubts can form. But you know what's awesome? You know the way to deal with doubt? God said. God said. Just go back to the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. God said. Satan, shut up. You can tell Satan, shut up. You can shut down all those swaying moments of the heart. That battle you feel, you just need to stand on God's Word. The crafty devil is still trying to penetrate our human heart, right? But hallelujah, we're not ignorant of his devices, right? Many times I give no credence to all those little sways and just rely on the Word of God. Amen. You will never be put to shame, right? You will never be disappointed, and you will never be proved wrong if your stance is the Word of God, Amen. Right? Don't let the devil deceive you with a doubt, right? Okay. All right. Why don't we go on? And where did we leave off, brothers? Help me. See? I think we're on five, right? Why don't we read five altogether? Yeah, there is a couple different outlines on this. Okay. Sister, read Roman numeral 5. Right. Okay. To save a little time. Okay. So we know the story. I hope you know the story. Eve took of the wrong tree. And what did the Lord do? It says, therefore, Jehovah God sent him, the man and his wife, sent him forth from the garden to work the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. Amazing. He drove the man out, right? It's like, okay, Mike, you're going out, right? You're going to drive. God was aggressive, and he drove the man out of the garden at the east of the Garden of Eden. He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Man had access to the tree, but because of the fall, entered into that fall by receiving a doubt. What did he lose right to? The tree of life. Man was a vessel created to contain life. This is God's life. And Satan wanted to do anything he could to keep man from receiving that tree. Okay, well, again, did God just say, whatever? Did he just give up, Obi? No, brother, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's going to guard that way, though. He's not going to give up that tree, but he's not going to let that defiled man eat that tree until he does something. And that's Roman numeral 6. After Christ's redemptive work, man regained the right to what? Oh, hallelujah. He regained the right to the tree of life. Why don't we read this verse all together? Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes.
That they may have right to the tree of life.
Amen.
And may enter by the gate into the city.
Wow. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
What man lost has been gained. He lost it in what book of the Bible? And then what book did you just read from? Wow. You want to know the story of the Bible? You want to know the theme of the Bible? You just read it. You know what's consistent throughout the whole Bible? God never gave up his intention. He wanted man to get to that tree. He lost that because of the devil. But there's a way back. There's a marvelous way back to that tree. What do we have to do, sisters? What do I have to do? What's the verse say? Hallelujah. Wash their robes. Oh, it's so good to be washed. I hope you all love to get washed in the strongest detergent of the universe. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? I trust you all have been in the junior high conference. Right? The blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. Right? That's a marvelous sequence of revelation. And it's a marvelous access. We all start with the blood. Oh, the blood brings me back. I don't know how many times, Lord, thank you for the blood. My robe got dirty by the sin of this age, by the mind and my inner being. But, oh, Lord Jesus, there is a detergent. And it doesn't just wash the dirt off my skin. It's a soul-cleansing blood. It's a soul-cleansing blood. Don't you feel dirty in your soul sometimes? Something you've seen gets in you. Something you hear gets inside of you. It gets internalized, and it's not that easy to get out. But there's the blood of the Lamb, and it is a soul-cleansing blood. Oh, I love this blood. I love to bathe in this blood and get washed through confession, through repentance. And how many times I've told the Lord, Lord, thank you, I can repent. Thank you, I can come. Right? We pray, read the verse, right? Come. Right? Whosoever, let him come and take the water of life freely. Amen, Lord. Okay. So, sisters, you want to see something here. Now, I haven't written on a chalkboard in a long time. So bear with me here. Okay. So here. Okay, maybe I'll save this to the end. Okay, we'll keep going. Bear with me, but pick this up. Did God just give up?
No.
Wow, he brought man back to the tree of life.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to look briefly at Roman numeral 7. Why don't we read this all together? 7. God's focus was on the land, the house, the city. Jerusalem. Okay, Genesis 12, 5b, I'll read it. And they went out to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to the land of Canaan. And Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, to your seed I will give this land. And there he built an altar to Jehovah who had appeared to him. Okay, now the Bible is progressive. The Bible develops. It is a marvelous novel. I've told, I don't know how many college brothers I've told, brothers, if you want to really see an awesome show, if you really want to watch the best TV, you know what will televise the best television? You know what will the best vehicle that will tell you a vision? The Bible. The Bible is the best television. It will tell you a vision, and may it get penetrated on your heart, and you will never be the same.
Amen.
So in this progressive vision that's being told to us in the Bible, God calls Abraham, and he calls him to a land. And in this land, there's a city, Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, we have the rest of the conference to develop it. But let me just tell you, Genesis 12, God calls man. And he calls him not just into a nebulous place. He calls him to a ground. He calls him to a place. a very specific place. A year ago, myself and a community brother and two college brothers, we visited this land. And it's an amazing land. It's Israel. And in that land is a city called Jerusalem.
Amen.
And in that city, there's a place. Even to this day, it's a very specific place. It's called, help me, brothers, the Temple Mount. Yeah. It is the Temple Mount. It is the place where God's house physically was built. It was the place that Abraham offered Isaac to God. Oh, it was fascinating to go to that place and to realize millenniums ago, Abraham was there offering his son. Wow. There's a place. There's a very specific ground. On that place, okay, did he really offer Isaac physically? Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac are ascending the mountain there, Moriah, and he's ascending the mountain. It's not a tall mountain. It's kind of inconspicuous, but it's a place. It's a place. I hope you pick this up. There is a place. This whole conference, we're going to see about a place. There is a place. And Abraham went to this place. It was the threshing floor. It became a threshing floor. But anyway, and he's ascending that mountain with his son Isaac. They have wood for the fire. And they have the censer, which is the coals for the fire. And Isaac, the little boy, I think he's 12. Is that right? I think so. And he says, Father, the wood is here. The fire is here. Father, where is the ram that will be offered at this place? Do you know what Abraham said? Oh, I hope that is just milk and honey to your inner being. God will provide himself a ram or a lamb. God himself will provide a lamb. Who does that foretell us of? Who does that speak forward of? Christ. I don't have time to develop it, but that opened the door. There's a sacrifice in the universe, and God provided himself an offering for sin found in the person of Jesus Christ. Wow, thank you, Lord, right? But it was offered in a very specific place. And on that place, think about it. You know what God built on that place? His house. His house. His house is built on the very place that that sacrificial lamb was offered.
Amen.
Do we have any other place? Okay, so then God built his house on there. So now we can worship God. We can come to God. We can feast with God because there's a place. On one hand, this place is in Christ. And we'll see in this conference, there's also a practical ground to this place where we can all come together in oneness and worship our God, give praises to our God, and feast before our God on this place. Oh, hallelujah, there's a place. I'm so glad I'm not wandering this earth, wondering where do I go to worship God? Where can I be in oneness with other worshipers? Where can I feast on my God? There's a place. There's a marvelous place. physically in the Old Testament, it was Jerusalem, right? Okay, I'm going to try to finish in about 4 minutes, sisters, and then we're going to give it to you, and you all have about 10 or 15 minutes to overflow. So I hope something's bubbling in your innermost being. Okay. Deuteronomy 12:5 says, we'll skip Exodus for right now. There it speaks of the tent of meeting is in this place. Deuteronomy 12:5 says, to the place, pick up this utterance, to the place which Jehovah your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name, to his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you go. There shall you go. There's a ground, there's a place. May we all go there. Sorry, brothers. Deuteronomy 12:8. And you shall not do according to all that you do here today, each man doing all that is right in his own eyes. Sisters, do we have a place? Do we have the freedom just to meet God, worship God, wherever, however we please, whatever seems right in our own eyes? I asked a Muslim one time, I said, what do you do regarding sins? You have sins, right? Yeah. I said, what? How do you deal with those sins before God? You know what he told me? Mercy. I'm counting on mercy. What's that? Okay, thank you, Mike.
That's what they told me, too.
Okay, he's counting on God's mercy. Okay, I love God's mercy. And I treasure God's mercy. But is that how God deals with man's sin? Wow. I hope all you realize that. How does he deal with sins? We actually already, we read the verse. We talked about the verse. How does God deal with sins to give us a right to the tree of life? Is it mercy? What is it? Washing, right? Washing in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Mr. Muslim, I feel sorry for you. That mercy is maybe not that reliable. God has one way. That place is built on this matter of a sacrifice. Why sacrifice? Spilt blood, shed blood. That's how God forgives sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You can line up all the mercy you want, but God has his way. The problem is, as this verse says, people do what is right in their own eyes. And they pick all kinds of grounds, all kinds of ways, all kinds of places, all kinds of methods, all kinds of good ideas. Now, mercy, I mean, I can't say, you know, it's better than saying good works. I give him that credit. He realized, oh, man, I don't know if I can do it. So I better rely on mercy. But it may be a good idea, sir, but it's not God's way. And may we not do what is right in our own eyes. We have to find God's way. We have to find God's place. We have to find the right ground and meet there and serve God there and worship God there. You may be wondering what the ground is. Just hang on. I have full confidence in the brothers. You'll find out what this ground is. On one hand, it's your human spirit. Oh, hallelujah for our human spirit. I love my spirit, right? It does. It's quite a place. Okay, then 1 Kings 9, Jehovah appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And Jehovah said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication, which you have made before me. I have sanctified this house, which you have built by putting my name there forever. Amen. Solomon built a house. But do you know what really made that house special? God put his name there. Wow. You know, a lot of people put their name on their house. Right? Smith. Jones. Van Dyson. Good name, brother. But what if God puts his name on a house? Wow. I better go there. I better hang out there. I want to live there. What is sanctification? Meaning, what is separation? What is setting apart? God put his name on the house that Solomon built in Jerusalem. And then what's the next phrase say? And my eyes, whose eyes are those? Wow. And my heart, whose heart? Wow. God's eyes, God's heart is on his house. I hope none of you, what is the house in the New Testament? It's actually the next Roman numeral. Maybe we better read it. Why don't we read Roman numeral 8? In the New Testament, God's focus is on Christ and the church. Yeah, Lord Jesus. You know where God's eyes are focused? You know where his heart is longing for? His house, the church. Oh, I hope the church is pleasant to your eyes and sweet in your heart. Oh, the church of God. It's where his name is. It's where his person dwells. It's where his people are in oneness. Okay. Then Matthew 16 mentions another conflict. I'll just tell you quickly. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But does that mean they won't try? They'll try. They are trying. And we'll find out as this conference goes on how they try to prevail. Okay, the last Roman numeral. In eternity, God's focus is the eternal city, New Jerusalem. Oh, Lord Jesus. Why don't we read these verses all together? Revelation 21, 1 and 2, sisters. Amen. Wow. So the Bible ends with man eating the tree of life. He's identified, this man is identified as a corporate bride adorned for her husband. What a story. What a love story. Right? So let me just end with this. Okay. So hopefully this will kind of put this together. Okay, in the beginning of the Bible, there's the earth. Okay? By the end of the Bible, you know what there is? A new earth. Right? That's what the verse says, right? In the beginning of the Bible, there was a man. What happened to that man? This is Jehovah, or this is God. He creates. And then Satan, he corrupts what God has made, corrupts. But hallelujah, God does not like the word whatever. He does something. And the earth becomes a new earth. Man becomes a new man. Right? There's a new man in the universe. Right? And then this garden, you know what this garden consummates in? Wow, a glorious, holy city, right? A holy city. It's even called New Jerusalem, right? New Jerusalem, right? And then you know what? In the New Testament, we have the church. Seen in Genesis as Eve. Satan tries to corrupt that church, but eventually, by the end of the Bible, what is that church? Wow. The bride. The bride. Right? A marvelous, what a love story. Have you been told a vision? Have you seen a vision? This is better than any TV show. It's better than anything you'll find on Netflix. It's awesome. But you got to read it. This story you got to read. God likes reading, right? And God likes unveiling. Anyway, sisters, we'll stop there. But realize there's a battle, right? There is a battle in the universe. And but hallelujah, we know the destiny.
Amen.
Does God lose this battle? No, right? God wins this battle. So why don't we take 10 minutes, and sisters, whatever is in you, feel free to share, and then the brothers have some announcements after that.